The following Daf Yomi consists of several parts. It begins with the Daf Yomi recorded today, continues on with a quick review that allows you to go over the entire Daf in just 5 minutes, and then concludes with the last cycle's Daf Yomi, which you may enjoy more simply because there are different participants, has a different ambience. Enjoy! Today's Daf in Masechet Tzvachim is Daf Kuf Yud Tet. We are holding 4 lines up from the bottom of Kuf Yud Chet to Amud Beit. We are going through still the years of history and discussing how long each one of the phases lasted in the various periods in which the Bamot were Mutarot or Asurot and in the different places where we were, which includes the Olamot Shebemidbar, the Olamot in Gilgal, the semi-Olamot Bayit, in other words, mixed with the Mishkan in Shiloh, and the Nov and Givon in between, coming into Yerushalayim. So we went through the period of each one of them, but we stopped yesterday at the 14 years of Kivush and Chiloh. We meanwhile pointed out that the overall structure of this period, which ends we're talking about over here, 480 years after Yitziat Mitzrayim, but the way we were talking about it yesterday brought us all the way up to the time of Yechezkel. And that time of Yechezkel was 900 years after Yitziat Mitzrayim, because it was already after the Churban, plus there was an additional 14 years. It was really 904 years after Yitziat Mitzrayim, and the 904 years was a Yovel year that led us into an understanding of how long it was before they started counting Yovels, because there were only 17 possible Yovel periods. Now, this must have been that 17th Yovel, and it had to have begun in the 14th year after Knesa La'aretz. Otherwise, we are really off, because there's no way the 14th year after the Churban could have been a Yovel unless those 14 years were up front, and that made the whole thing work out exactly to the number of years of 17 Yovelot. Anyway, getting back now, though, to the original Braita, which gave us all of the years, we were up to the Ohel Moed Shebegivon, Shebenovim Begivon, together equaled 57 years. Now, how do we know that? That was one thing we had left out. We know that. Well, let's trace the destruction of Shiloh. If we can get a point in time when Shiloh was destroyed, then we can work from there. Now, we know that Shiloh was destroyed with the death of Eli, and that allows us to work backwards, because the death of Eli was directly related to the capture of the Aron HaElokim by the Plishtim, and it was on the very same day that Nov was destroyed. And that gives us a fantastic reference point, because we know exactly what happened to the Aron year by year. So let's start from there. Vayikas kirot Aron Elohim. So it says at that moment, Vayipol mi'alakisei koranit. He falls backwards, he breaks his neck, and he dies. And then we learn in a braita that Eli, the death of Eli, was the death of Shiloh. So kishamet Eli hakohen charva Shiloh, and bo lenov, where we don't really need to trace the number of years of Nov, because we know that it was in the year that Shmuel had died that Shaul was able to go wrong, and he destroyed Nov. That was the Nov Yerakonim, and they had to leave Nov. And from there, they came to Givon. Now, let us trace backwards, because we can figure out what happened to the Aron from the moment that it was captured by the Plishtim. So it was a number of months by the Plishtim, and in the end, it landed up after its return in Kiryat Yarim. So the Aron was Shevet to Kiryat Yarim, Vayirbu Hayamim Vayihiyu Esrim Shana. So it was 20 years, and those 20 years were the greatest years of the period. Vayinau Kol Beit Yisrael Acharei Hashem. Those were the years in which everybody followed Shmuel's leadership and did everything that he had taught them to do. And if we work up now, we know the end of the Kiryat Yarim period was when David brought the Aron from Kiryat Yarim. So that means these 20 years bring us up to the 8th year of David, which is his first year in Yerushalayim. It was that first year that was the end of Kiryat Yarim, as far as the Aron was concerned, because David brought it up to Ir David, even before the Beit HaMikdash was built. So those 20 years include, therefore, if we work backwards, 7 years, I was working backwards, we have to have 7 years of David, which were preceded by 2 years of Shaul, which were preceded by the first year of Shaul, which would only count as pure Shaul, because it was also Shmuel together with him. It was sort of a semi-Malchus, which he was doing everything that Shaul told him until the Agag moment, the Amalek moment. So those were 10 years. And the other 10 years were the 10 years of Shmuel on his own. So we start from the beginning. The 20 years consists of starting in the beginning, Eser Shanim Shemalak Shmuel Batzmo, 10 years that which Shmuel was the entire authority as the Shofet. There was no Shaul yet, and therefore we've got the first 10 of that 20. We've got the first year of Shmuel and Shaul together. And that was part of Shaul's reign, but it was not yet really a completely accepted Malchut. So it was a Shana Shemalak Shmuel and Shaul together. And then we have Shtayim, Shemalach Shaul alone, and that's 3 years. And then we have 7 years of David before he brought the Aron from Kiryat Yarim. Sheva de David, Yechiva Yimim, Shemalach David al Yisrael Arbaim Shana, Bechevron Malach Sheva Shanim, Uvi Yerushalayim Malach Shloshim Veshalosh Shanim, and this was after those 7 years. Now, Shlomo, by Shlomo it says, Vayachel Livnoto Bishnat Arba Lemalchuto. He began building the Bayit, which was the fourth year of his reign. So what have we got? We've got up until the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and again, I think it's important to point out that when we say up until the time of the Beit HaMikdash, strangely, it's not quite true, because the pasuk, remember, that we brought here is Vayachel Livnot. Vayachel Livnot means he began. Truth is, it takes 7 years until he completes the Beit HaMikdash. Nonetheless, the Vayachel Livnot, if you remember from Malachim, is the time in which we discuss the Beit HaMikdash as if it's already there. So the Bayit Bibanato, and this is what was going on, and so on. And the year number, 480 from Yitziat Mitzrayim, is given in the context of Vayachel Livnot, which means that all of our Cheshbon, the point of reference, is the 480 years after of the Tchila, from the Yitziah. Now that must mean, therefore, that the Mizbeach, even though there was no Bayit yet, was no longer being used in Nov and Givon. That's the assumption we're making. So we have 20 years of the presence of the Aron. Here's how we got it. 20 years of the presence of the Aron in Kiryat Yarim. 33, until David comes along in the seventh year of his reign and comes to Yerushalayim. First 7 years were in Hebron. When he comes to Yerushalayim, he brings up the Aron to Yerushalayim. There's no Beit HaMikdash yet. 33 years remain for the reign of David, which was a total of 40 years. Add that to the 20 years of Kiryat Yarim, which began with the destruction of Shiloh when Eli died. And the Aron was captured and brought back. Okay, that gives us 53 years. Four additional years until Vayachel Livnot, which was Bishnat Arba of Malchut Shlomo, equals 57 years. That 57 years is the 480th year from Yitziat Mitzrayim. So we now know how many years we had that Nov and Givon period. After that, some of it was during the period of the Binyan, the rest of it was after the Binyan, but when we talk about 410 years of the Bayit HaRishon, it starts from the time of Hakrava, even before he completed the Bayit, which is remarkable, but that's it. Wait, once we've worked out 57 years, so again, if we take those 57 years and the 40 years in the Midbar and the 14 years of Gilgal, and we subtract that from 480, then we are left inexorably with the 369. And that is the reason that we said that Shiloh was up for 369. So out of the years from the time of Yitziat Mitzrayim until the time of the Binyan Beit HaMikdash, the total number of years in which Bamot were Mutarot were the 57 years here and the 14 years of Gilgal. The 369 years of Shiloh, the 40 years in the Midbar, we could say 39 years from the time of the Binyan of the Mishkan, those were the years which was in Israel, Bamot, even before the Binyan Beit HaMikdash. Okay, so now we know that there was a heter between them. The Gemara comes to explain how do we know there was a heter. So minan emile, the Tanarabon, kilovata madata elam nuchavala nach. Kala. Ela Menucha is a reference to Shiloh, and it's called Menucha, as we'll see, because that was the point at which we stopped fighting, so it was resting from the wars. And Nachala is a reference to Yerushalayim. There's no point in Moshe Rabbeinu saying, the reason you're going to be allowed to bring Ish HaYashar Beinav is because you haven't come to Shiloh and Yerushalayim, if it's a one-time event. You didn't come to the first place. But Shiloh, I don't have to talk about Yerushalayim, it's irrelevant. Unless, Lama Chilkana Katuv, why would I mention them both? Unless, Kidei Litein Heter Zebezeh. Unless it's in order to say, no, there were two points. You came to Shiloh, it was Aser, but then it became Mutter again for 57 years. That was the period of Novin Givon. But then El Hanachala, which was Yerushalayim, and it became Aser again. So obviously, I need to mention both, because they were two completely different in it. Amar La Resh Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. I don't exactly understand why it is that Maaser Sheni is allowed to be eaten along with things that are mutter on a Bama Ketana anywhere. Why would there not be a chiyuv of bringing Maaser Sheni to Nova Givon and eat it in Nova Givon, just like there's a chiyuv to bring Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim Bizman Hazeh? And we certainly don't know that there's a difference between the Bamat Sibur and a Bamat Ktana when it comes to the dinim of the heter of eating Maaser Sheni elsewhere, or at least we shouldn't. So why won't you have to bring it to the Bama Gedola? Amarle said, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, that's because the chiyav of eating Maaser Sheni is dependent on the presence of the Aron HaBrit in the location where you're eating it. And since in Nova Givon, by definition, there was no Orein, because that was the period that was in either in Kiryat Yarim or in Ir David, so therefore there wasn't any Maaser Sheni. Now, how do we know that? Maaser Sheni is learnt out from a Gezeira Shava in the Torah, which is Shom to Shom. So it says, V'achaltem Shom, and that's Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. And it says, B'makom asher yivchar l'shaken shmo sham. Now, that is that sham by the Orain. It says, V'natata sham et Aron. So that sham means the mokom that is miyuchat, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that we need to bring our things to, is the mokom that's miyuchat, not only as a place for bringing sacrifices, but as a place where the Aron is, sham. Or where the Aron isn't Shom, then it doesn't make any sense to say that I would eat Maaser Sheni particularly there. Ask Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan, if that's the case, then a Yochi Pesach v'Kachim Nami. Why would we be limited to bring a Pesach and a Kachim Dafke in Nova Givon? We also ought to actually be able to bring it on in any Orei Yisrael. Because, I mean, Pesach, you're saying, since Pesach is a Chovah, and when we're talking about Kachim over here, we mean Kachim that are Chovah, and therefore they're only carved in a Bama Gedola. Why is that true? Since the din of coming to Shom is Davka b'makom asher yivchar l'shaken shmo Shom, and by the Aron it says Shom et Aron, therefore any Shom that defines the particular nature of the Mokom Ashkina would have to be a Mokom that contains the Aron, and in which case the same thing should be true, that if there is no Aron, the Aron instead is in Kiryat Yarim, then there should be no Chiyav of bringing Pesach Davka in the Novin Givon. It should be the same as Maaser Sheni, because Shom Shom is learned out from the Aron, and therefore, Kivud Aron Lo Have, since during that entire 57-year period, which consisted of the 20 years in Kiryat Yarim and the 33 years in the little hut in Yerushalayim that David had made for the Aron, before the Beit HaMikdash, and even the first 4 years of Shomar Malach's reign, before the Vayachar Livnot, we've got 57 years in which we should be able to bring Korban Pesach anywhere. So, Inun Ami Lo Havi, we should say the same thing, and that's the question. We should not have to be in Novin Givon. Amar Lei said, okay, never mind. You caught me. So, I'm taking all that back. It's not because of the relationship to Aron and to Shom. You know what it is? It's that a completely different basis. Because consider this. We actually have to say that when you talk about Maaser Sheni eaten b'chol Orei Yisrael, has got to be going like Rabbi Shimon, which I was trying to avoid, but now that's what we're going to have to say. Now, Rabbi Shimon, you'll remember, said before that a tzibur also, bizman, the momot, was makriv on the Bama Gedola, not to chataot, of, certainly not of the Parhelm Davashat Sibur and the Seire, the Seire Avodat Kochavim, but even according to the way we came out at the end, even the Chataot of the Moadim, but it was only Pesach v'chovot ha-kavu alehem zman, we said. So, chovot she'in kavu alehem zman was not brought anywhere. It wasn't brought, not in a Boma Ketana, not in a Boma Gedola, not by a Tzibur, not by Yochid Lo Kariv. Now, let me ask you something. Is Maaser Behema a Korban Chova? Yes. Is it Kavu Azman? Obviously not. It's whenever you take off your 10th animal. Once you're telling me that there's no Chiev, therefore, being Makriv, or no place to even be Makriv, a Behema of Maaser Behema, then, by definition, there's no place to eat the Maaser Sheni either. You know why? Because the Torah says Aser to Aser, and that Aser to Aser is a classic Gzereshova that compares the dinim of Maaser, one Maaser to another Maaser. Now, the two Maaserot that we know are Maaser Behema to Maaser Dagan, and that's Bishnei Maaserot HaKatuv Menaber. The Torah refers to two separate Maaserot. That is the reason that there wouldn't be anything that could allow for Maaser Sheni being in a specific place, Bizman Hazeh. But it's only Aliba the Rabbi Shimon, which is very odd, because it leads us to a strange conclusion. Because since there was only no Maaser according to Rabbi Shimon, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees, he says, no, excuse me, Dvarim that are kavu alehem zman, even chovot are not kavolem zman. The only limit is you can't bring these things on a bama gedola, but you do bring these things on a bama gedola. Even a yochid, forget about the tzibur. So that would work out alibet Rabbi Yehuda. Remarkably, this is really strange. You would have to bring your maaser sheni to weird noven giva, because you'd be bringing your maaser behema to noven giva. Aser to aser means you'd have to bring your maaser sheni to noven giva. Says the Gemara, are you trying to say that aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, mechlal de Rabbi Yehuda korev? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be korev, and then you'd have to bring maaser sheni to noven giva? Says the Gemara, yeah, I know it sounds weird, but it's exactly the din. You're trying to point out that I'm saying something that implies something crazy. It says so beferish. The Omer Abad Bar Matna Maaser Sheni Umaaser Beima Arnecholim Menovin Givon L'Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. What do you say? Okay, so then Enochinami, the Mishnah would only be going Aliba to Rabbi Shimon. Since Aliba to Rabbi Shimon, there's no Hakrova, even on the Bamat Sibur, of chovot that are not kavul emzman, there was no maaser beima, therefore there was no chiev of a specific place of eating maaser daga. But Einoch Hinami, Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, who clearly our Mishnah is not following, there is bringing of maaser beima, because it's a chovah, even though it's not kavul emzman, therefore there was a mokum of achilas maaser sheni. Ask Gemara, but you mean it's all a function of the place? Doesn't it say, lifnei Hashem Elokechem? What gives it the name of that place? I mean, I always thought that the point of the Bira, so to speak, in other words, the capital, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a function of a real bayit with an orain. I mean, by definition, during the period of Noven Givon, there was no orain. That's the whole issue. It was in Kiryat Yarim, or it was in Ir David, prior to the building of the Beit HaMikdash. So it's all very nice to say that is the place of the Bamat Zibur, but why is that called Lifnei Hashem? We should have Lifnei Hashem Bishilo, yes. Lifnei Hashem Ben Noven Givon? Says the Gemara, well, you should know. V'laf Tani Rav Yosef, did not Rav Yosef point out that there were three places, actually four, but we always call Noven Givon one place. There are three places, and that's we mentioned earlier, Sharta Shechina B'Yisrael, and we include Noven Givon. So that there are three Birot, says Rav Yosef. Shilo, Noven Givon, and Beit Olamin. Hu Tani Lavu Amarla. Three Birot in terms of which halacha? In terms of Achilat Maaser Sheni, which is obviously only true, Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, we've got some fascinating new things here. We've also got a very beautiful, broad perspective of the entire period. Okay, Bo Yerushalayim. So we have been referring to Menucha as Shiloh and Nachala as Yerushalayim, and we can actually see this from the Pasuk, because the Pasuk refers to Yerushalayim as Nachala. In the Pasuk Haitali Nachalati Ki'aryeh B'yar, which is a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's disgust with Yerushalayim at the time, so that it's a place that is waiting to be destroyed. And it says, sorry?
The lion and the yar.
A reference to, yeah, reference. Yar Levanon and Yehuda. And Ha'ayit Tzavua Nachalatali. Ha'ayit Tzaviva Le'a. So call together all the animals of the field, let them come and eat. So this is the description of Yerushalayim at the period of the Churban, and it's called Nachalati. So Hashem keeps referring to it as Nachala, which means that we are right in suggesting that Menucha, first stage, is Shiloh. Nachala, second stage, is Yerushalayim. It all fits. So says Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, this is rather surprising, that Menucha is actually called Yerushalayim, even though it comes first. It's really a reference to Yerushalayim. Nachla is a reference to Shiloh, where it says, Zot Menuchati Adead, Po Eshev, Ki Ivitia. We see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to this makom of the Beit HaMikdash. We know he's referring to Beit HaMikdash because the previous pasuk says, Ki Vachar Hashem B'tzion, Iva L'Moshe. He desired Tzion and says, Zot Menuchati. So that means Tzion is called Menucha, which backs my contention that El HaMenucha V'El HaNachala, we're going to discuss, it was rather weird that you should put the later event earlier. We'll ask about that in a moment. But it's also supported by the Pasuk that actually the Menucha would be Yerushalayim. Well, Bishlam Laman Yomer Menucha Shiloh. I mean, then it makes sense that we have it in chronological order. Hainu Dechtiv El HaMenucha V'El HaNachala. But what would Moshe Rabbeinu mean by saying, you haven't yet come to the Nachala of Yerushalayim or to Shiloh? I mean, the whole point is we're giving these points that relate to the Isra Bamot. Why talk about Yerushalayim? So Laman Yomer Menucha Yerushalayim Nachala Zu Shiloh. Shouldn't Moshe have said, Ki Lo Bata Manata El HaNachala V'El HaMenucha? Instead of the other way around, which reverses the order, says the Gemara, what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is, look, you have the right to do Yesharot, Isha Yashar Beinav. But why is that? Because you haven't come to the period which will forever prohibit Bamot. For that matter, you haven't even come to the period which temporarily prohibits Bamot. So you don't even know from the Isra Bamot yet. Therefore, you're going to be able to indulge yourselves in your little rooftop temples. But the day is going to be coming where you're never going to be able to get back to this again, where it's going to be looked at askance and primitive. And it's important for you to understand that. So in other words, he's giving them an insight into the future and the compromise which the Bama represents. So that it makes very good sense, but it's a completely different ambience, of course. That a purely halakhic ambience becomes now a philosophical ambience, besides its halakhic implications. So Hachikomer, Lomi Boy Menucha de Lomatitu. Not only have you not arrived at the Menucha, you haven't even come to the place where there will be a temporary Yisr Habamot. Tani Rabbi Yishmael, now we have a completely different approach. So far we've had two approaches, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Both of them agree Menucha and Nachla are two different places. The only question is on how to identify which one. But now we have two additional approaches, which differ from the two original approaches in denying that it was two different places, Bichlal. According to the following Shitot, it's all the same place. The only question is, which place? So that we have the Shita, the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, who holds both Menucha and Nachla Shiloh. But later on we're going to ask why in the world we would need to mention it in two different ways. But both Menucha and Nachla are Shiloh, and of course we're going to have to ask, so then how do you know there was a period of which was butter in between. We'll get to those questions. But first, in terms of identification. So the Tana of Rabbi Shmuel says both Menucha and Nachla is a reference to Shiloh. And it turns out that this works out very well on Liban Rabbi Shmuel. Because you see, Rabbi Shmuel is the man, the armor, who holds that even after the Churban of Yerushalayim, Bamot Rumutarot. Because he holds that the Kedusha Rishona, even of Yerushalayim, was Kichala Shat Avalor Kichala Tidlavo. So according to him, there never is a time in which we cancel Bamot entirely. It's all a function of what is Kadosh during that period. Therefore, why would he need a special pasuk to be matter the time between Shiloh and Yerushalayim if even after Yerushalayim is going to be mutter? So we don't get into this problem of how do we know that there's a heter ben zelazah. According to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Both Menucha v'Nachala is Yerushalayim, which remarkably means there was no Heter ben zeh lazeh because there was never an Isser. They didn't become Isser until they got to Yerushalayim, and it's all a mistake. During the period of Shiloh, you were actually allowed to be Makriv on Abama. Wow, that's a different way of looking at it. Okay, so these are very different ways to approach the entire sugya. Were Bamot Usser after Yerushalayim, or were Bamot ever Usser before Yerushalayim? This is the Machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, which depart entirely from the way we've been looking at it. Okay, so asks the Gemara, Bishlam Levan Yama Menucha Zu Shiloh, Nachala Zu Yerushalayim, or the other way, I don't care. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, who identify this as two different places, obviously, if I talk about two different places, then I refer to them in different ways, okay? So I say, Hanedichti Vela Menucha, Vela Nachala. We're going to say, and again, I don't care who it is, we're going to say they're both the same place. You want to say Zuv Zu Shiloh, or you want to say Zuv Zu Yerushalayim. So then, I mean, even if you want to give a description, okay? And somehow it's important to you to call it both a menucha and a nachala. Is that the way to say it? Kilovate marata el a menucha, the el ha nachala. If it's one place, say, lo batan el a menucha va nachala. I mean, why do you make it sound as if there's this dramatic to there and to there? There's no theres, there's only one there. So how do you explain that? Nachala menucha, nachala mi boile. Okay, Kasha, that's an issue, but you can understand that the implications of the poetry are that they're two completely different aspects of your coming. So it's not a fatal question. Now, I can explain to myself why Shiloh would be called both a menucha and a nachala. Makes a great deal of sense. It's a menucha because the fact is that it was the end of war, and there's a sense of relief and getting to normal life. That's called menucha. So menucha is called the nochu mikibush. The kibush period, which was so difficult, was over. And we could call it v'nachala. It would be because the fact is that is the place that they did the goralot for the final division of the nachalot. So the pagu hatam nachalot. And therefore it makes sense to call Shiloh the nachala because it was the source, really, of the coming into one's place. Dichtiv, it says, b'feirush, after all, that vayashlech lav Yoshua goral b'shiloh, vayachalek shom Yoshua at the arts of the Israel. Okay. But Yerushalayim? I mean, I could see why you'd call Yerushalayim a nachala. Nachala in the sense of this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's permanent nachala, so to speak, right? So it's nachalat olami. Okay, I can understand that. But why in the world would you call it menucha? I mean, it's not as if the period before the building of the Beit HaMikdash was a period of war and so on. I mean, this is the fourth year of Shlomo's reign. Things look pretty good. Why call it menucha? My menucha, the truth is that this is a little bit difficult to understand the question. Because, I mean, it's even introduced as kinoach. When you finish all of the wars, those are the wars of David, Mikol Oyveyem, Yitzavir, and build the base of Midbar. So, I mean, the Torah even makes it a makom of menucha. I mean, why is it difficult to see why we would call that a menucha? You have to be noach Mikol Oyveyem Saviv. Isn't that like the ultimate menucha? Isn't that the reason why we weren't ready to build a base of Mikdash before? It's because David was still fighting. So Hashem tells him, like, oh, you're still the Ish Damim, and that's what you've got to be doing, and we're not ready yet for the Damim of the Karbanos in Yerushalayim. So why it would be so hard to see that we would call Yerushalayim Menucha is hard to see. So anyway, but maybe, says the Gemara, it would be called Menucha because of Menuchat Ha'aron. And that is Vayi Kinoach Ha'aron. Of course, the problem is there is no such pasuk as Vayi Kinoach Ha'aron again. Rashi said. So Rashi says, once again, I did my search. I didn't find this pasuk. And he says, I don't know where it is, but you know what it might be is, Kuma Hashem l'menuchatcha tavi Aaron u'zecha. So that would mean menucha. And that would be explaining that Aaron is a mokom of menucha. And,
but that's not specific to Dubai.
Yeah, but Tosfos says, I don't know why he, well, I mean, but that was Shlomo was saying that as he was bringing the Aaron.
Oh.
Yeah. But Tosfos says, I don't know why we don't use Vayibin so Aaron. Uvenucho Yomar. So wasn't this the ultimate Uvenucho, where we put it into its place? Al Mekomo Sham. So apparently Rashi holds that Uvenu Chol Yomar, why would we say specifically a reference to Yerushalayim? Therefore, I wouldn't call that more Menucha. That would just mean that it's not traveled. So it could be anywhere. But okay, but in any event, it's they're definitely, we use the word Menucha in terms of the Aron. That's clear. And the way Shlomo looked at it is Atavi Aron Ozecha is a reference to Yerushalayim, Menucha. Okay. Yes, thank you for bringing that up. The Gemara constantly makes up psukim. And the reason it does this is for the simple fact that you're not allowed to say psukim b'alpa. So in other words, really the Gemara paraphrases psukim because all of this was always b'alpa. It was always, remember, I mean, we're so used to a written Torah Shabbat b'alpa. But the first stage of the writing of the Torah Shabbat b'alpa was the composition of Torah Shabbat b'alpa. The composition wasn't writing. It was organizing. Same thing happens with the Mishnah. So when you review this, you're reviewing psukim baal peh. You're not supposed to do that. And therefore, they would always paraphrase. And sometimes the paraphrase got locked into the way in which it was written. So there we got to, what were they paraphrasing exactly? So that's where Rashi says it doesn't literally mean this pasuk, because there ain't such a pasuk.
We just spoke about
it. Tosfos this question, yeah. Because it wasn't, Vayimetz Aharon is not a relationship to Yerushalayim specifically. Rashi obviously holds. Okay, so we now understand that it's possible to use these words to refer to either Yerushalayim or Shiloh. Now, another problem that we have is that according to the Mandiomar, you see, Bishlom al Mandiomar Zuvizu Yerushalayim, and that means according to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, that Shiloh was actually mutter in Bamot, which is remarkable, and Manoach, according to this, was not taking place during the period of Menucha, which was Shiloh, because there wasn't such a place. So he was the only Manoach, and he was bringing a carbon on his backyard Bama, because in fact, according to Shimon Bar Yochai, even though Shiloh existed, didn't create a problem for bringing a carbon. So therefore, he was able to bring that carbon. He brings it on a rock. Okay, but according to Mandioma, Zov Ezor Shiloh and Bamot were Asur. How do you explain the fact that it says, Vayikach Manoach, and he went ahead and he brought it on a tzur? And of course, we really had mentioned earlier that if you hold that you need a Mizbeach from Vayiven Noach Mizbeach, then how do we explain the fact we had Gemara asked that Manoach brought on a tzur? So we pointed out over there that anyway, it was Ora'at Sha'ah. That's exactly the point. Because he wasn't allowed to bring at all Bachutz, according to the Man Yomer, that it was Usser in Shiloh, which of course was our normative approach throughout the Mishnayos and the Brises over here. Therefore, we'll have to say it's Ora'at Sha'ahita. And what's interesting is that the Talmidim in Rabbi Shmuel's yeshiva ultimately began repeating the sheet of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who held that both Menucha and Achla is a reference to Yerushalayim. And the way to remember who said what over here is that the man dragged all the boy. In other words, all of the Talmud, the many, were dragged to the other side by the one. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was able to pull them all over to his side. And so therefore, it became the Shita even and the Tanit Rabbi Shmuel to be Yerushalayim. Okay, now, we go ahead and we continue to talk about the various dinim of where it is that there's an Isser Asay, an Isser Lav, an Isser Karet, and we distinguish in the Mishnah of the times, whether you were Magdish the Kachim at the time of Isser HaBamot and Makrivit at Isser HaBamot, then there's an Isser Karet. But if you were Magdish at the time of Heter HaBamot, and then you went ahead and brought it up outside after the Isser HaBamot, then there was an Isser Lav and Asay, but there was Ochi of Karet. Now, Omer of Kahana, a tremendous Chiddush, which is different from the way we understood it until now, all of that discussion in the Mishnah was a reference to Shechita. But when it comes to Ha'ala'ah, You would be chayev karet even if you brought michutz le beis hamikdash or michutz le shiloh. You brought something that you had been magdish prior to the issur. So something you had been magdish during the time of Gilgal, and then the shiloh is built, and you bring it outside of shiloh. You would be chayev karet, or something you were magdish during the period of Nov and Givon, and you were magdish it after Shlomo builds the beis hamikdash. You would be chayev karet. It's only shchita that the Mishnah was talking about. Why do I say that? My time, says Rav Kahana, because the Pasuk says, the Alehem Tomar, after describing the, remember we had two different diyukim in the opening Pasuk about Shchitas Chutz, and then it adds, the Alehem Tomar, Ishish Vibet Yisrael, Asher Ya'leo L'Zavach, Ben V'Nichrita. So clearly, the Alehem added to the above. What's the above? Two separate parshas, one of Hegdesh Peshat Isra Abamot, and one of Hegdesh Peshat Isra Abamot, where in fact, in one place it says, Velodis Bechood L'Sirim, that's a lav, not karet. And the other one, the first one, is V'nichrata, which is where it was Mugdash Peshat Isra Abamot. But Aleihem Tomar, on both of the above, add that if you're Maaleh, then V'nichrata. Smuchin on what we just talked about. Matkifla Rabba, the same question that we had before. It does not say V'alehem with an ayin, meaning add to the above. It says V'alehem with an olive, which means tell those people. What does it have to do with Asmuchim? Where do you get that from? Add to it. What are you, an Ashkenazi or something? You can't tell the difference between an olive and an ayin, for God's sake.
Elehem
is the meaning of an L. You know, that's basically what it means. It says V'alehem Tomar with a pata. But it means, but it's not with an I. So therefore, it can't mean that. And by the way, let's stop discussing the theory of the language, okay? Because we happen to have a very clear-cut bright in which Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai makes it clear that you are wrong. V'otanya arba'ak lalot haya Rabbi Shimon Omer b'kodashim. Rabbi Shimon defined four different categories of chiyuvim, four kachim bachutz, and they go like this. If you were magdish b'shat isur abamot, and you were shochet or hela b'shat isur abamot bachutz, that's the ultimate. That's an aseh, lot aseh, karet, and therefore chiyuv chatat. Category one. Category two. You were magdish b'shat heter habamot, and you did either shchita or hala. I hope you heard that clearly. Shchita or hala b'shat isur abamot harein ba'aseh v'lo taseh ve'ein behem karet. You heard that. Ein behem karet. Thank you. So we now know that you're wrong, but we might as well get into the other two categories. Higdishan b'shat isur abamot. How about the other way around? Your magdish b'shat isur abamot, which means that part of your hegdish takes into consideration that you'll be yotzi your chiyuv when you bring it in the place where it's meant to be brought, which is Shiloh. And then you're coming to Shiloh and you meet someone who says, forget about it. There's no more Shiloh. So now what do? You're makriv b'shat heter habamot. Makriv b'shat heter habamot. Then you have an aseh, but you have no lotaseh at all. You just have the chiyuv of to be mevisham. Okay? If you're magdish, that's category three. Category four, you're magdish b'shat heter abamot, and you're shochet ve'ela b'shat heter abamot, there you're completely potter, which makes no sense at all. It's just about trap. What do you mean you're completely potter? You just did the mitzvah the way you're supposed to. Whoever heard of being potter about a mitzvah? It's crazy. This isn't a category of where you did an isser, but there's no, I mean, what do you mean potter? What could it possibly be referring to call it potter, says Tosfos. And if what it means is that maybe it's talking about chovot, which is usur to be makriv in Obama, and therefore it's a your potter. If you're makriv, the type of chovot, I mean, so then why doesn't it say them at least the mitzvah aseh or a lava b'michlal aseh, which is an aseh, right? It says you're supposed to be makriv yisharot, not chovot. I mean, that's an isur. You say potter miklum. We've been talking about three levels. Eser, lotas, and karet. So say we have a lava b'michlal aseh. Yes, indeed. That fish is getting really, really, you can see the poison starting to come out there. Yep. So how could he have said that, says Tosfos? The only thing that I can think of, says Tosfos, is very interesting. That it's talking about over here, a case where someone was magdish, an oila, which is mutter to bring on his own mizbeah, and he's magdish it, we spoke about this case before, on condition to bring it in the Bamat Sibur. I'm going to bring this in Novin Givon. And he doesn't. He brings it on his rooftop. So over there, he wasn't Yotze his netter, but he didn't do an Isser. That's the point that it's making over here. You're not doing anything wrong. You're just going to have to bring another one. I mean, but you're certainly potter miklum, because this was just part of what you committed yourself to do. So go ahead and do it now. What you went ahead and brought, you brought. That's great. Okay? All right. So there you're potter miklum. Maybe that would be the meaning. Anyway, but have we sufficiently addressed your mistake, says Rabbah? Or do you still believe, my dear Rav Kahana, that there would be an Isser Karet on Halah? No, I suppose not. Tiyufta, Rav Kahana, Tiyufta, we have just checkmated Kach. I mean, sorry, Rav Kahana. Okay, so now we go into a whole list of what things do not apply to kachim that are being brought on a personal bama. How do we know smicha does not apply? Smicha, as it says, lifnei Hashem v'samach. How do we know shchitat tzafon does not apply? These are all taken from the Mishnah, right? Yeah, does not apply, shchitat tzafon. Why? Tzafon lifnei Hashem. We know that there was no dinim of shnayim shein arba, which are matanot saviv, as it says, v'zorak ala mizbeach, saviv ala mizbeach, is the mizbeach that we've been talking about, the mizbeach, which is lifnei Hashem. We know there's no tenufa, because it says ve'inifa kohen lifnei Hashem. We know there's no hagasha, because it says ve'igisha ela mizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda says, why are we talking about tenufa and hagasha when there was no such thing as a mincha at all on a bama? Amar Rav Sheshes, just to get one thing clear, although we've been discussing the question of whether there's a mincha on a bama, and you haven't mentioned the birdie-birdie problem, but if you don't believe there were minachot on bamot, then there were also no ofot on the bama. So l'divrei omer yesh mincha b'bama. If we agree that there was a korban mincha brought on a bama, then you could bring an olah ta'of. Obviously not a chata's oath, because there were no chata'ot on a bamat yachid. So then you could bring a oath on a bama. But l'divrei ha'omer, ein mincha bevama, ein ofot bevama. I mean, look, it cuts both ways, man, because the mekor of the din is, l'man asher yaviu b'nei Yisrael, et zifcheihem asher heim zofchim al p'nei asadeh. So up until now, v'zvachim, Zvachim means things that you do shchita. That doesn't include the dinim of the ofot or the menachot.
Well, of course, the oath is sent off me'asaneh.
Yes, it is indeed, but it's not brought inside. Yeah. I mean, that's the Azazel, all of those dualism things are interrelated. They all come one parsha after the other. The birds of the Mitzera is a dualism. One of them is, Shech, but the other one's sent free. And the Zin of the Sar Mishtaleach with the Sar Hashem, it's all about those boundary issues of the Nod of Aviv. They all follow the boundary issue. They're all deeply interrelated with Knesset, Pim, and Chutz. And the question of whether the Sar Azazel is Roy for Petach Al Moed, for the Goral, Vidui, as we had before. So that's thematic to all of those parashiyot following from Shmini on. It's all about inside, outside, in terms of the Tzoraz. But anyway, getting back to our sugya. So therefore, it's all interrelated. If there's no Zvachim, then there's no Ofot. If there's Zvachim, there's no Ofot, and there's no Minachot. Anyway, getting back to the list of things that are not in Obama, it says there's no din of Kohen in Obama, because it's Dafka, a din of Vizorak HaKohen, this din of HaKohen is Adam al Mizbach Hashem Petach HaOmoed. So obviously, if there's no Petach HaOmoed, then there's no Vizorak HaKohen. Big day sharet, says the first, lisharet bakodesh. The kli sharet, it says, asher yishartu pam bakodesh. Okay, so all of those words, lifnei Hashem, HaMizbeach, Mizbach Hashem, bakodesh, they're all words that tell us this is limited to an area that could be seen as unique, special, which obviously is the opposite of Obama on your rooftop. We also know there was no din of Reach Nichoach, which means that the boser that is brought of the on the Mizbeach, when it came to the Boma, could have been charbroiled before. And then you put it on your Boma. So because it's only L'Reach Nichoach La Hashem, it's Dafka when you're in front of the Lord. Mechitza B'damim, Tachsivaita Hareshet at Chatzi Ha Mizbeach. It's only that Mizbeach, which is Lifnei Hashem, that has the Reshet, and the Reshet was the equivalent of the Chut HaSikra that we had later on the Beit HaMikdash. Richutz Yadayim V'Raglayim, he did not need to use a kior, because Zubekorvatam El Ha Mizbeach, Yirchitzut Yadayim V'Raglayim. Omar Rami Bar Choma, let me make something very clear. When we're talking about over here the difference between the Bama Ketana and Bama Gedela, it may have crossed your mind to think that these differences, instead of having the Mechitza of Dam, that that's a halacha of where it is that you are bringing the particular carbon that you dedicated to be brought. So in other words, if you were Magdish something for bringing on a Bama Ketana, and you went ahead now and brought it in a Bama Gedela, it would still be now the din of the Bama Ketana, so that this would be a description of the carbon rather than the place. And I want to make it very clear to you that when we say that there's no mechitza for damim on a Bama, that's where the carbon was kodesh originally for a Bama Ketana, and then you went ahead and you were makriv it in a Bama Ketana. But if you were magdish something, even if you had in mind specifically and said, this is for my Bama Ketana, and you wandered into the Bama Gedela because you had a business deal, yesh chitzui. At that point, the mechitza that would describe the difference between Domim al-Yomnim, Domim al-Tachrim immediately come into play, because it's not dependent on what the carbon was meant for. It's meant in where you're actually bringing it. Are you bringing it in a Bama Gedela, or are you bringing it in a Bama Ketana? Then, yesh chitzui. You would have to apply the dinim in that Bama Gedela. So it's not quite so simple.
Above and below,
and the Ola Dam of the oil would have to be down on the bottom. Motiv Rab, Chaza v'shok v'trumat lachme todah, noagim b'kotche boma gidola, v'ein noagim b'kotche boma ketana. Now, I read that, kotche boma gidola, not where you bring it. It's not b'boma gidola. It's if this were a carbon that was going to be brought on a boma ketana, it doesn't matter where I end up bringing it. And if this was meant to be brought on the Bama Gedela, then it doesn't matter where I bring it. I'm going to have to treat it with all of these dinim anyway. And that seems to imply that it's a function of the carbon having been brought for where, and not where, but for where, which is the opposite of what you're saying. So isn't this a problem to Rami Bar Choma? Well, no, if we just change the word a little, maybe leave out the word koche, and say, noagin b'boma gedola, ve'in noagin b'boma ketana. Now, actually, some say that it really was completely the opposite, and that what Rami Bar Choma said was, lo shanu ala b'kotche b'boma gedola v'ikrim b'boma gedola. That it really is not only a function of the place, it's a question of what the intent was when you're bringing it. So when we say there is a mechitza l'domim on a b'boma gedola, that's dafka kotchim that were shechted for, or mukdash, for hakrava in the b'boma gedola. But if I said I'm going to bring an oila, and I have my own b'boma, and then I find that I have a business meeting in Novan Givon, and I say, well, I'm going that way anyway, so I might as well stop in and bring my carbon. You know, you have to wait so long anyway until you get your registration filled out. I might as well use the time when they're doing the inspection on my horse, might as well use the time for bringing a carbon. Over there, the halakha is that you would actually not need to treat it with the dinim of the Bama Gedela, because it's not a function of the place. It's a function of the carbon in the place. And therefore, he was saying precisely the opposite of what we originally repeated. The intent of the Kedusha. Mm-hmm. So if you were magdish something for a Bama Gedela and ended up bringing it in a Bama Gedela, but if you were magdish as a Bama Ketana, and you ended up just because you happened to be there being makriv in a Bama Gedela, then the dinim in the Bama Gedela do not apply to it, and you do not need chitzui bedami. Now, in this version, what it is that we said before as a question now becomes a proof. So now, according to this version says, shall we indeed, lema misayayale, shall we prove the point with the following, chazav eshok, v'chubas lach betona, noagi, b'kotche Bama Gedela, Say if I had brought a shlomim or a taita, and my intent was to bring it on the Bama Gedolah, then there's a dinner chazav for Chorka Trumas Lachmi Taita. But not if I had been magdishit for Bama Katana, even if I had brought it in the Bama Gedolah. So isn't that a raya? And in this version we say, well, it would be a raya if we were convinced that this girsa is absolutely binding in the Braita. But, you know, I mean, maybe what the Braita really said was, for all intents and purposes, is noagin bebama gedela, ve'ein noagin bebama kitana. Now this last lashon is pliyi de Rabbi Elazar, the Omar Rabbi Elazar, olat bamat yachid, even if you had intended to bring a korban oila on your personal bama, and you walked in with it to an area that had mechitzot, meaning a bama gedela, kolotuha mechitzot lechol davar, it would then automatically be included in all of the dinim of a bama gedela, which of course would be exactly the opposite of the second lashon of Rami Bar Chama, that it's a function of the Kodesh and not of the place. According to Rabbi Elazar, that is patently wrong. Omoed Shebenovi Givon 57. Where do we get this from? In Olay. Dichtiva Hikas Kirot Aron Elohim Vatana. Kishemet Eliyahu Kohen Harvashilo Ubal Nov Givon. Kishemet Shmuel Aramati Harvanov Ubal Givon. Now, that period we could trace. Because we know that Vayibiyom Shevet Aron Bikirat Yarim, Vayibu Yamim Vayu Esrim Shana, Vaynohu Ko Beit Yisrael Achrei Hashem. Now, let's figure out these Esrim Shana, okay? Because it's going to be important to get the end point on them so that we can add another 33 years to them and then another 4. These 20 years go like this. First 10 years were Esr Shana Shemalak Shmuel Ba'atzmo, and before Shaul had even arrived. Then we have another Shana Shemalak Shmuel Vishaul. Then we have 2 years of Shaul, and then we have 7 years of David. Now, the truth is that this is obvious. These are not like Kabbalahs that we need. It's really what's important to us is only the fact that the last 7 of these years were the 7 years that David was being Melech B'Chevron. That's what's important to us. So therefore, we know that we then add another 33 years. Because David took the Arayin in the 7th year of his reign, which was the period that he had been Melech in Hebron, and moved it to Yerushalayim. From that point, that means that's 20 years later. From that point, it says, Ayamim Asher Malach David al Yisrael Arba'im Shana, B'Hebron Melech Malach Sheva Shanim. And now, okay, we included those 7 years in the 20. The 8th year he brought it up to Yerushalayim gives him 33 years left of the Arayin in the little hut in Yerushalayim that he built for it. Then it took another 4 years till the Beit HaMikdash was built, or begun to be built, is where we count from. And that was in the 4th year, B'Shlomo Ktiva Yachel Livnoto B'Shnat Arba L'Malchuto. Add 20 years until Yerushalayim of Kiryat Yarim, 33 years of David, 53, 4 years of Shlomo, 57, that's the years of Nov and Givon put together. In other words, between destruction of Shiloh and the building of the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, that, if you subtract that, plus 40 years in the Midbar, plus 14 years of Gilgal, of Kivush V'Chiluk, subtract it from the 480 years that is given as the marker from Yetziat Mitzrayim, you're left with 369. And that 369 is the period of Shiloh. Nothing else happened during that time. So Nishtayra l'Shiloh Shalosh Meyot v'Shivim Chosar Achat. Bo l'Niov v'Givon. And we now have a heter between Shiloh and Yerushalayim. And where do we get that from? You know what I mean? It's on our bonon. Kilovata marata la menucha vela nachana menucha shilo nachla Yerushalayim lama chilkana katuv kedei litein etter ben zelize. Ono le rish lakish rabbi Yochanan. Then why is it that Maaser Sheni, you needed a pasuk for this. Why don't you need a pasuk now for Maaser Sheni to be mutter anywhere and you just take it for granted? It should have also been a Novin Givon. Omalei, no. Maaser is dependent on the presence of the Oren. The Oren was in Kiryat Yarim, because we learned that out from Sham, the Oren Kayalfe. Since there was no Oren in Novin Givon, therefore there was no Maaser. So Maaser Nami Lo Havoi. You can say the same thing about Pesach and Kachin. Why do you say you have to bring the Korban Pesach at Chovot Shekavu Alem Zman? Because you're saying that that was the Bamat Zibur. No, it says you should bring them only in the place where there's an Orin. But if there's no Orin, then why do I have to go to Novin Givon? He says, all right, I guess you're right. Let's try another approach. Why no Meiser is because it's Rabbi Shimon. As Rabbi Shimon says, even at Zibur was only Makav Pesach, at Chovot HaKavu Alem Zman. Of Chovot She'in Kavu Alem Zman were not brought anywhere, not in Abam HaGadol, not in Abam HaKatan, okay? Maaser Be'ema, therefore, was not brought at all, according to Rav Shimon. So Maaser Be'ema is Chovot She'in Kavu Alem Zman. Once that's true about the Maaser Be'ema, it's by definition true of Maaser Dagan, because of Aser Ta'aser. B'shtei Maaserot HaKatu B'daber, Echad Maaser Be'ema, V'chad Maaser Dagan. So are you trying to tell me that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that there was a Maaser, there was also a need to eat Maaser Sheni and Novin Givon? That's shocking. In, that's exactly what I'm telling you. Domer v'ara bar mata Maaser Sheni u'Maaser Be'ema, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and they're calling the Novin Givon, the Rabbi Yehuda. But I mean, isn't Rabbi Yehuda also moda that you still need Lifnei Hashem? I mean, it does not require a bira. What makes this a bira? Because Lav Tani Rav Yosef, there were three different locations of what you could call a bira in terms of the presence of the Shekhinah, and that Shiloh, Novin Givon, and Beit Olonim. Hu Tani Lavu Amarla. When I say there was a bira, I mean it in terms of what? In terms of Achilat Maaser Sheni. And of course, it's only true a little bit of Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Shimon, there was no din of Achilat Maaser Sheni in a bira. Bo Li Yerushalayim Tanur Rabban. Kilovata Madata Lamenulchavla Nachana. And we can see that in later references to Yerushalayim as a Nachala, like Haitali Nachalatika Aryeh B'Yar, or Ha'ayit Savua Nachalatali, Ha'ayit Saviva Leah. Debbie Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon says, no, actually it's the other way around. Menucha is Yerushalayim, Nachala is Shiloh, and we find references to Yerushalayim as Menucha, because it says, Zot Menucha Ti Ade Ad Poe Shev Kivitia. And where was Ivitia? Kivachar Hashem Mitzion Iva Lamoshavlo. So clearly, that's what it's a reference to. So Bishol Melamanim Menucha Zeru Shiloh. That explains the language. First Menucha, then Nachala. But according to the Man Yomer, Menucha Zeru Shalayim and Nachala Shiloh. Doesn't Moshe get it backwards? Shouldn't he have said Ela Nachala Ela Menucha? Is what he should have said. Me by like, no, no. He was saying like this. Not only have you not come to Menucha, which would really have wrecked your ability to bring Bamot forever, Dolomatito, you haven't even come to the temporarily problematic time of Bamot, which is Shiloh, and therefore you will be able to be Makriv Yishayashar Be'inav, which otherwise in either of those places is certainly off limits. Now we have a different approach with the Tanur Rabbi Yishmael and the Rabbi Yishmael Bar Yochai. And that is Tanaver Yishmael. Actually, Menucha Nachal are both Shiloh, and there was, according to him, there was no Kedusha after Shiloh, just as there was no Kedusha after Yerushalayim. So there is no need for any psukim about Bein Zelazet. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, actually, both Yerushalayim, and there was never an Isur Bamot in Shiloh at all. So Bishlam Lamanam Menucha is Shiloh, Nachal is Yerushalayim, or the other way around. I mean, at least the language makes sense. Ela Menucha, V'Ela Nachala, they're two different places. But according to the Man D'Amar, both are the same place. And I don't care what the place is. They're both Shiloh, they're both Yerushalayim, but shouldn't you just have said, Lobatem Ela Menucha V'Nachala? I mean, why V'Ela Nachala, Miboyle? It should have just said Menucha Nachala, Miboyle. Okay, problem, no. Kasha. Fine. Then I understand the use of the word menucha and nachla for Shiloh. Menucha, because there was no more kibush, and nachla, because it was the place in which they actually did the final goral on the nachalot. V'yachalek lem Yoshua v'yapelem nachalat, goral rather, b'shiloh api Hashem. But according to Man D'Amar, both Yerushalayim, I can understand why you would refer to Yerushalayim as a nachla. Because it's the Nachalat Olamim where nothing will ever change. This Kiddush would be Le'olam. But why would I call it Menucha? My Menucha? Menucha is in terms of the Oran. Dechtiv ki noach aroner kuma lemnuchatecha. So Bishlam Laman Yom Zobazo Yerushalayim Abba Shiloh was actually mutter mbamot, like Rishubo Yochai. So that explains why Manoach was able to be makriv his Gedia Izim and the Mincha and bring it on a tsur, even though Shiloh was there because it was mutter. But according to Rabbi Yomar, that Shiloh, whether it was an Isser Bamot, so was Shiloh Bamot Abba Yisurin, my vayikach Manoach. That was a horat shaita. Tanit be Rebbe Yishmok, Rav Shem Abba Yochai, Domer Zobaz of Yerushalayim, which means that he won out against even in Rabbi Yishmael's own, Agam Lichvoshta Malkai Ni Babayit, and Simanecha Mashre Gavra LeGavri. Kol HaKadashim, and we go on to talk about the various Yisraim, and we said that the Kachim that you were Magdish B'Shat Heter Abamot, there's no Isser Karet on Chutz. Says Rav Kada, now wait a minute, there's no Isser Karet on Shechita. Because on Shechita we have the two different psukim, one of Elo Yizbechu Od, and the other one Venichrita. But Baha'Allah, there's no difference when you were Magdash. You'd even be Chayef Karet on Ha'alat Chutz. Because, why do I say this? Diomar Krava Aleihem Tomar, read that Al, above and beyond the above. In other words, Hasmuchin, on the things we just mentioned, which were both Kodesh B'Shas Yisra Bamot, and Kodesh B'Shat Heter Abamot, on both of them the din is that you have to be Chayef Karet on Ha'alah. Matkif lo Rabba, excuse me? It doesn't say Ve'alehem. It says Ve'alehem as if it's written Elehem. Ve'od. It's a B'Ferash bright. There's Tanya, Arba'a Kelalot Haya Rabbi Shimon Omer B'Kotshim L'Gabei HaKravaschot or Shchitaschot. Higdishan b'shat yisur abamot, v'shachat or he'ala b'shat yisur abamot b'chutz. Okay, that's sort of trivial to us. So here's where we get to the meat of our problem. Higdishan b'shat heter abamot v'shachat v'he'ala. In other words, either shchit or he'ala b'shat yisur abamot. That is an isra asein alot aseh ve'ein behem karet. All right. Higdishan b'shat yisur abamot. Then you didn't do the mitzvah of bringing them, which had been chal on you when you were magdish them, okay. But there's certainly no lotas, as obviously there's no lotas, there's no karet, there's no chatas. Higdisham b'shat heter habamot, v'shachat ve'ala b'shat heter habamot, then your potter miklum explains to us, even if the intent of the hegdish had been to be marked in a bama gedela. So, isser b'shut echutz or halah schut. But anyway, teyufta Rav Kana, teyufta. Okay, then we went to all of the lists of things that do not apply to a bama katana. And we say, smicha, it's only for the Hashem v'samah. Shchitas tzofa, it's only for the Hashem. Matanot saviv, v'zorak on izbeach saviv. Tznufa, v'nifakon for the Hashem. Hagosh, v'yishalam izbeach. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Bichlal, there's nothing to discuss about Tnuf Hagosh because there's no such thing as a mincha b'bama." Omer if she's a diber omer yesh mincha b'bama yesh ofot b'bama, but the diber omer ain't mincha b'bama ain't ofot b'bama because the words vachim either you're going to darshan zivcheyem asherim zofchim literally, in which case it's zvachim velo menachot and it's just as much zvachim velo ofot. Okay, koi, that's because it says v'zorak akayna mizbeach lifnei Hashem. Big day sharets is a sharet bakodesh. Kli sharets is a shishar shubam bakodesh. Reach nichoach is reach nichol Hashem. Mechitza bedomim it's a vayta reshet at chatzi hamis beach. Vrichot shedayim raglayim. Tachti v'kor v'tam el hamis beach yirchetzu. Omer Rami Bar Choma, but wait a second over here. This is not a function of just the idea of where it is you are. It's where it, what it is that you had in mind. So I got that backwards. Kachi bama kitana griva bama gedela, the first lesson, sorry, is that yesh chitzui.
The following is the graph from the previous of the Yomi cycle.
Thank you.
with your everyone, Mitzvah Yom Kippur, Tov Shin Sam of Aram, Mitzvah Zvachim. We're holding on that proof, Yud Ches on the base. We've gotten right up to the closing two dots.
Four lines from the bottom.
We spoke about, up until now, we've spoken about the number of years that we're involved in, you know, the kibush and the chiluk and the length of time of the entire settlement of Eretz Yisrael. And the one thing that we hadn't worked out yet was the Ohel Moed Shivan Givon, and this is where we're at. Ohel Moed Shivan Givon together were Chamishim B'Sheva, 57 years both together. How do we know that? Dechsev Vayika is Kirot Aron HaElohim. First of all, it starts with the death of Eli. Eli died as soon as the Aron was captured. Now, as soon as the Aron was captured, that was the end of Mishkan Shiva. And the point is that the Aron was really wandering around after that, after the Plishtim returned the Aron. Remember that it was put into Kiryat Yarim, and it never made it to Yerushalayim until David HaMelech brought it from Kiryat Yarim when he went up to Yerushalayim, which was 7 years into his mouth, the first 7 years when we recovered it. And then, the Beis HaMikdash wasn't built until the fourth year of Shlomo HaMelech. So there was also another 33 years of David HaMelech. David HaMelech was king for 40 years total. And then there was 4 years of Shlomo HaMelech's Malchus before the Aron and the Beis HaMikdash ever got settled. So if you add all that up, then this is what the Gemara is basically going to do. If you add all that up, then you see that the total number of years of Nov and Givon, which was that entire period from the destruction of Shiloh until the Aron was brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim of the new Beis HaMikdash, was 57 years. So how do we know that? Okay, so we start with the death of Eli, right? So Tanaka, that's when the Aron was captured. Now Tanaka Shemek Eli HaKohen Chorvah Shibo. They immediately moved to Nov. And of course, the year that Shmuel HaRamati died, Chorvah Nov, that's when Shaul went wild and started chasing David and destroyed Nov HaKohen. Then the Bama Tzatzibor moved to Givon. Now, when the Plishtim gave back the Aron, which was 4 months later, it ended up in Kiryat Yarim after a brief span of knocking out people in Beit Shemesh. It went to Telstar. Huh? Things never got back to normal there. After that, Vayirbu Hayamim, Vayu Esrim Shana, Vayinhu Kol Beit Yisrael Acharei Hashem. Now, it says it was 20 years total in Kiryat Yarim. Now, those 20 years consists of, how many Esrim Shana? The Eser Shana, Shemala Shmuel Beatzmo. Those were the 10 years that Shmuel was the Shofet. Before Shaul ever appeared on the Bama of history, after Eli died, Shmuel took over. Okay, that's 10 years. Now, the first year that Shaul became king, Shmuel basically shared the responsibility for the Tzibur with Shaul, and Shaul was taking really orders from Shmuel still, until he stopped taking orders, which is when Agag, the whole story with Agag, and then Shmuel never saw him again. He broke off relations with him, and that was it. Now, so that was 1 year that Shmuel was Moloch together with Shaul. And then there were 2 years that Shaul was on his own before, after Shmuel left him. So that's 13 years. And then there were 7 years after the death of Shaul in which David was still in Hebron. And he didn't bring the Aron out of Kiryat Yarim until he was ready to go to Yerushalayim. Tesiv HaYamim Asher Malach David al Yisrael 40 Shana V'Hebron Malach Sheva Shanim. So now, and then it's going to be Yerushalayim Malach Shloshim V'Shalosh Shanim. Now, so if you add the 20 years that we just had, which was started from the death of Eli, from the time the Aron was restored to Kiryat Yarim, and you then add the other 33 years of David's Malchus, this is a total of 40 years, and those first one included the second, right?
So then you've got 33 plus 20 is 53. And the Beit HaMikdash wasn't ready until the fourth year of Shlomo's reign. Add the extra years then, and now you've got exactly the 57 years that we said was the time that Novin Givon was in service. And then it says, Vaychalid Nuto Bishvat Arba Lamalchuto Mishtayu L'Shilo. Now, if you subtract the years of Novin Givon and the years of Gilgal and the years, there's the 14 years Sheva Shekafsha, Sheva Shechilko, the years, the 410 years of the Beis HaMikdash, you're left with 369 years out of the 850, which was from the time of the Knesset of Eretz Yisrael until the Churban. So you're left for Mishkan Shiloh 369 years, and now everything fits. We now have the Beis HaMikdash 410, the Gilgal was the Sheva Shekafsha, Sheva Shechilko, 57 years for Givon, and then there was, of course, Shiloh, 369. Bol Nova Givon, and Bomos were Mutaros. Now, how do we know that Bomos were Mutaros after Menucha was achieved in Shiloh? We know what I mean. The Tanur Rabbanan, Kilo Batem Adata El HaMenucha VeEl HaNachala. Now, when Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them what they're going to be doing differently, they're not going to be doing any more Yishai Yashar Meinav and so on, right? When you come to the Menucha and Nachala, then things are going to be different. So what is that, Menucha and Nachala? Ela Menucha refers to Shiloh, and the Nachala refers to Yerushalayim. Now, if the Bomas became Asur as soon as they came to Shiloh, why bother mentioning Yerushalayim? Just say lo batam el ha-menucha, and once they're at the menucha, then you know you can't bring in a bum anymore. Therefore, it's clear that the Torah separated menucha from nachala to tell me that in between Shiloh and the Beis HaMikdash, namely 57 years of Novin Givon, that the bumas were mutarot again. Shalom achilkan akatuv today we ting heter ben zelazeh. How come the Mishnah that talks about the Achilas Kachin does not talk about Meiser? What about the dinim of Meiser? You're telling me that they would eat Kachin and Novin Givon. Why doesn't it talk about bringing Meiser Sheni to Nov and Givon? Because there was no longer Kedusha Shiva, the Mokom of Kedusha was Novin Givon, so the Mishnah seems very studiously to avoid Meiser. In fact, Meiser was actually not eaten in Novin Givon for the very simple reason there was no Aron in Novin Givon. That was the whole thing. The Aron was in Kiryat Yarim for the first 20 years of Novin Givon, and then it was moved to Yerushalayim in preparation for the building of Israel. And Novin Givon didn't have an Aron. And how do we know that the Aron is important? Because, you see, Meiser shom mi Aron koyofe. What's curious is that by Meiser it says v'chaltem shom, or it says v'tnei Hashem elokecha v'makom asher yivchar ha'shaken shmo shom. But what's interesting is that by the Aron it says in the same thing, v'nasata shom es ha'aron. So if the shom demands the presence of the Aron, and there was no Aron, then that means that the v'yachaltem shom ma'asar v'gancha would not appear, would not apply to a place without an Aron. So it says, so that if that's the case, by Pesach and by Kachim it also uses the lashon of shom, the v'yachaltem shom, it says the same thing. So why does it say that you're allowed to eat Pesach and Kachim in Novin Givon? We should say the same thing. Shom shom mi Aron yofi. Kivan da Aron layavi inu na milo havi. So I said, all right. You know what? The Amalakaha money, who do you think the Shita of the Mishnah of the year is, where it said, Maaser sheni b'chol arei Yisrael, that was not brought to Novin Givon? Who's the author of that? That's Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon says that, remember, a tzibur only has a right to bring karbonas that are chovot ha-kavu alehem zman. Chovot that are not kavu alehem zman, were not brought at all, according to Rav Shimon, not in the Bama Gedola, and not in the Bama Ketana. Now, it happens to be that Bechor and Meiser, Behema, do not have a Kvias in Zman, obviously. So that means, according to Rav Shimon, you couldn't bring a Bechor and a Meiser. And the thing is, once you know that that's the case, that Meiser Behemis, Chovot She'en Kavula in Zman, as we saw before, Iskish Meiser Dagon La Meiser Behema. All of the dinim of Meiser Dagon are compared in the Pasuk to Meiser Behema. And since Meiser Behema wasn't brought to Novin Givon, neither was Meiser Sheni. And that's the reason that the Mishnah says Meiser Sheni is eaten Cholor Yisrael, not Novin Givon. So are you telling me that according to Rabbi Yehuda, who argues, and he says that Kerchovos, that were Kavula and Zman, you could bring, so that according to him, that Enoch Inami, you would bring Meiser Sheni to Novin Givon? Is that what you're saying? Call the Rabbi Yehuda Karach? In? Absolutely, yes. The Omer of Adab Armasna, Meiser Sheni, Meiser Behema, Ne'echolim, Benova Givon. This is the finish. According to Rabbi Yehuda, indeed, Meiser Behema and Meiser Sheni was brought to Novin Givon. But wait a minute. What good is it to bring it to Novin Givon? I mean, Novin Givon, yes, in terms of the Mizbeach. The problem is, it says, Lifnei Hashem Elokecha, by the Achiyu of Meiser. Where's the Lifnei Hashem Elokecha? It requires a bias, has some level of Kedusha, of Hashem Elokecha there. So it needs basically a Bira. It needs to be the capital, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's place. Where's the Bira? Vavoy Bira. Oh man, what's Tony Rav Yosef Shalosh Bira say? Didn't Rav Yosef say that there's three different places of a din of Bira? Shiloh, Novin Givon, and Beis Olam. And Megave what? Who Tony Lo Hu Amar Lo? Rav Yosef himself, who said that over in the Stam, the din of Bira, he explained what he meant. La Hilas Meiser Sheni, Abibir Rav Yehuda. If that Novin Givon has the shame of a bias, in terms of Achilah of Meiser Sheni, and specifically, of course, Avibud Rav Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Shimon, we would have learned from Meiser Behema not to come to Novin Givon, because it's Ein Kavula in Zman. And then continues the mission of Bolei Yerushalayim. Once they came to Yerushalayim, the Bomas became Asuras. Tan Rabbana. Ki lo vatem adata el ha-menucha v'yala nachana. Menucha ha-shilo, nachala is Yerushalayim. And I'll show you. I'll show you that that's true. Because, take a look at the way the Pesukim refer to the time of the Churban. Kodesh Baruch Hu complains, Haita li nachalati ke'aryeh ba'ya'ar. So, you know, it was the behavior in Yerushalayim was horrific. So it was like wild wolves instead of, I mean, wild lions instead of being a proper Beis HaMikdash. Vomer, and it says, Ha'ayit Tzavua Nachalati Li, again, referring to Nachalah, so clearly the closure of the years of the Beit HaMikdash is referred to as Nachalah. Did we review that? Rabbi Shimon Amar, no. Actually, Menucha refers to Yerushalayim, and Nachalah refers to Shiloh. I'll prove it to you. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu selects Yerushalayim, it says, Zot menuchati adayat po eshev ki ivitia. And we know that that's referring to Yerushalayim because it's kibachar Hashem b'tzion iva l'moshavlo. So what's the ivitia? Tzion. And it says, Zot menuchati. So you see that menucha is Yerushalayim? It's interesting. So Bishlam l'man yama menucha zu shiva. Okay. If we understand that Menucha Shiloh, then it makes sense that the Pasuk goes in order. Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, Lo bata marata, el ha-menucha, you haven't gotten the Shiloh. Ve'el ha-nachala, you haven't gotten Yerushalayim. And it was, in fact, in that order that they went. But I don't understand. If you're going to say Menucha refers to Yerushalayim, and Nachala refers to Shiloh, then why did Moshe reverse it? Why did Moshe say, he should have said, what Moshe was saying to them is, the reason that I'm telling you that you are allowed to be Makriv on Abama Kitana is because not only did you not get yet to the Menucha, which is usually right. You haven't even gotten to Nakala, which is Shiva. So in other words, there was no time in which you've experienced in the entry into Eretz Yisrael an Isra HaBamayis. Not only have you not reached Yerushalayim, and I feel the nakala nami lo matitu. Now Rabbi Yishmael learns v'zu v'zu shilo. Both the meanings of al menuchah and al nakala are references to shilo, and we'll see why they were both used for different elements of shilo. The point is that Moshe is saying, look, you haven't gotten the shilo yet, therefore your bomes are mutaris. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai omer, zu v'zu Yerushalayim. And according to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, bomos became aser only when the Beis HaMikdash was built. When there was a mokom asher bachar Hashem. Shiloh was not a mokom asher bachar Hashem. So bishleim l'man yom menucha zu Shiloh. You can tell me that menucha is Shiloh, and Nakala is Yerushalayim. Or you can tell me the opposite, that Nakala is Shiloh, menucha is Yerushalayim. Fine, I understand that there's a point in identifying it, Menucha and Akla, separately. They're two different places. If you're going to tell me that you hold it, they're both the same place. Either they're both Shiloh or they're both Yerushalayim, I don't care. In other words, so why does it say El HaMenucha VeLaNakala? Why doesn't it say El Menucha TaNakala or El Menucha VeNakala? You haven't been mashlim and finalized your place in Eretz Yisrael. That's basically all it should have said. What's this El HaMenucha, the El HaNakala, if they're two different issues? Gosh, okay, then that's a problem. Certainly it's less reasonable that the pasuk means then. Now, Bishlam, the Mandi Amazubas or Shiloh, I can see an excuse for calling Shiloh both Menucha and Nakala. Because the reason I would call it Menucha is because they stopped basically the war that everyone was involved in to do the kibbutz. So menucha is where you're no longer fighting. It's the opposite of fighting, the opposite of milchom. So we're not going to be kibbutz. Nakala, and the reason it was called Nakala is because Yoshua gave out the various Nakalot, the various Yisrael, in Shiloh, as it says. Vayechalek lehem Yoshua vayepelem goral b'shiloh al piyashim. So Shiloh makes sense. It's called Nakala. This was the place where they inherited Eretz Yisrael. But I don't understand, according to the Mandi Amar, that Menucha and Nakala are both Yerushalayim. I mean, I understand why we would call it Nakala. It's called Nakala because it's the final Yerusha. And from that point on, it's for sure not going to be changed. So that's Nakalat Olami. But Menucha, I mean, in what sense Menucha? I mean, the Kibush was over before that. So why is it Menucha from what? Why do you call it Menucha? The Menucha means Menuchat Aharon. We find that the Orein requires rest because it's referred to in different places. Actually, there is no such pasuk specifically, but there are places where it's lemenuchatka, lenochacha, or by kenoach kapota koanim nosei Aharon. The word menucha seems to be associated with the Orein that's always traveling. And the Aron is called Hatayar HaGadol. It's the great traveler. So when the Aron finally gets to settle down a little bit, it's like Mika finding herself a home. So we understand that there's an element of Menucha associated. Well, let's not talk about final resting place. So in the Mela, we would refer to it as a Mokum and Nukh of the Yorin. So Bishlam Lamad Yomer Zovizu Yerushalayim, Avashiva Havishar Yabomai. So we're going to hold like a Shimon by a Yot that Yerushalayim was the beginning of the Isra HaBomis. But during Shiloh's period, Bomis were not also. And that makes a lot of sense because Manoach, the whole story with Manoach was during the period of Shiloh. And it says that Manoach takes this Kediyah Yisim, and Aminacha, and Vayal Alatsur LaHashem. Now how could he do that if you hold that Shiloh, like Armish, if you hold like Armish, that Shiloh was the man of Isra HaBomis? So it makes more sense, actually, what Rabbi Shimon is saying. The Man Yomer Zuv Azu Shiloh, if you hold, like the other Man Yomer, that Bomis are Asurin, So how did Manoah bring a korban on a tsur in the middle of nowhere at a time that Shiloh was built? Well, as we saw earlier, that was over at Sha'an. You know, that was not a normal korban. But then Enochinami violated halacha. Tana de Rabbi Yishmok, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Yomer Zavazah Yerushalayim. In the end, we find that the Talmidim in the Beis HaMedrash of Rabbi Yishmael followed the sheet of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who holds that both are Yerushalayim. And the way to remember who ended up giving up to the other is Mashbi Gavra Lagavri. Remember that the single man, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, he single-handedly captured all the Talmidim of Rabbi Yishmael, so to speak, were many, the Devei Rabbi Yishmael, and he ended that persuading them that he was right. Remember that Tosfos earlier, where we had the same simon in reverse, says it's insane to have a simon that can be used in reverse, because then it's not worth anything. You know which way it's going. And therefore, he argues with Rashi, changes the girsa, says the meaning of Gavre as opposed to Gavra is in the name itself, not in the circumstances. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is two people, Shimon and Yochai. Rabbi Shmuel is one. So it's the Mashka Gavre, it changes the girsa. The Gavre, this Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, dragged the Talmid of Rabbi Shmuel, who was a single man. So, and that's more reasonable. You know, you've got more people on your side. You've got Shimon and Yochai, so you bring them together. Just in terms of the synonym. Okay. Kolar Kadashim. We talked about the Mishnah goes into the din of Ha'ala at a time where the Bamais, in fact, are Asurais, but you were Makdish, the animal, Bishat, Hetera Bamis. And then the Bamis became us. So it says that you're over, but you're not Chayav Karis. Amr of Kana, that's only the Shechita that you would not be Chayav Karis. But when it comes to the Ha'ala'a, you'd be Chayav Karis too. Because my time, the Amr Kara, remember that the whole Pasuk that talks about L'man Yaviu B'nei Yisrael Tazvachim Asher Ha'im Zavchim Al Pnei HaTzadeh. So Zavchim al Pnei HaTzadeh is a reference to the Heter HaBomas, al Pnei HaTzadeh, Ve'vinyum La'Hashem, when the Bomas become Asuras. But the opening of that part is Va'alehem Tomah. And remember, we tried this before, to say that the Va'alehem means add the Isser that is now being mentioned of Ha'Allah to the previous of these Karbonas that were set aside, B'Shas Heter HaBomas, add that to the earlier parsha of the din of Shechita. Now, before we only tried it, of course, to say that Shechita that was done Bachut, if you're mala it, even though it was possible because it was Shechita Bachut, you'd be chayef. We tried it for that. We didn't go so far as to say the whole parsha of being Magriv when you were Magdish, because Heter HaBoma is to be thrown back onto the parasha of Shechita to say that you're Chayav on Shechita's first. I mean, this is really a very chutzpahdik. Not to mention, as you recall, the Gemara threw it out earlier because it didn't say Ba'alehem with an ayin, it said Ba'alehem with an aleph, and we ended up being Ma'ar the parasha with a vav, which is more than, with Kahana's trying to do a heck of a lot more than that. So, Ba'alehem Tomar, Al Hatzmuchim Tomar. Add to the parsha of Shkut Echutz, which is the beginning of Ish, add now the second pasuk about Hazvachim Asheram Zavchim Apnei HaSadeh, which is the Shas Heter HaBomas in terms of the Kedusha, which became now Asur because the Bomas became Asur, right? Add that to the Yisr Koris, he's trying to say, of Shvitas Chutz. Maskeflo Rabba. Mr. Rabba said, well, come off it. First of all, it doesn't say Ba'alayim. It says Ba'alayim. So how in the world could you possibly apply the later Pasuk to the earlier Pasuk when all it's saying is, and tell them, not put it on top of them. So that's number one. The oath, besides that, you're wrong. It happens to be you're also wrong. Because Rabbi Shimon says in a brisa that you're wrong. Tanya Arba Klalot Ayarvi Shimon Omer Rabbi Shimon had four separate categories of the dinim, of the relationship of Shas Heter and Shas Isser, and the Kedusha to Shas Heter and Shas Isser of the Hakrava or the Shechita. These were his kolalim. Hiknisha Bishat Isur HaBamot. If the Kachim became Kodesh when Bamas were Aser, and you did either the Shechita or the Halah B'Shas Isser HaBamas Bachutz, then you have the Isser Asay, the Isser Loisa Asay, and you have the Kodesh. It says Vinir Kursa. If, on the other hand, you were Makish them B'Shas Heter HaBamas, so then they come under now the later category of Lamana Shayavu Bin Israel Zivkayama Sharm Zokhila Pneya Sadeh, and you have, and therefore, a mitzvah to bring them Bevium Lashem, and instead you were Shachat Behela Bishat Isra Bamans, you were over an Isra Asay, and you were over on an Isra Lav, but there's no chorus because it says Zos Lahem, and we dashed before Zos, meaning the Isra Lav. And not Kores. Fine. Hikdishan v'shas Isser HaBomis. V'shachat. Now what does it say over here? Hikdishan v'shat. What was the case of Rabbi Shimon in the second call? Hikdishan v'shat Heter HaBomot. V'shachat v'hela. Either case. What does he say? No Kores. Okay, Rivkana, you ready to throw in towel now? Because, I mean, Rivkana was claiming that when it comes to Ha'alah, you would be Chayav Koras. Here it says either Shechita or Halah, you're not Chayav Koras. You want to start up with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai? There's some pretty bad stories about people who start up with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, you know? So this anyway, but once we're already starting on his four klolim, we'll learn the additional two klolim, though we have the information we need to blow out Rav Kahana from the water here. So the next case that he had was if he was Hikdishan Bishas Isser HaBomis. And then he was Shechet and Mala B'chutz B'shas Heter HaBamis. So then Arayin Ba'atzeh, because the Atzeh was already Chal on them, that they should bring him that Yom LaShem. But there's no Yitzhar being Ma'akun HaBamis, there's no Losas, and obviously there's no Karts. Hikdishan B'shas Heter HaBamis. V'shakat V'hela B'shas Heter HaBamis. Then that, of course, is Patra Miklum. Anyway, to Yuftar of Kana, to Yuftar, goodbye. The Elu Kodesh, then the Mishnah went on and said, okay, what is the difference between the Kachim that are being brought on the Bama Ketana and the Kachim as they're brought on the Mizbeach? We had a lot of different things. Smicha and Shchitas Tzofein and the Chutas Sikra and the Kahuna and all kind. We need a marker for all of that. So now the Gemara is going to briefly run through all of the things. Smicha, how do we know Smicha does not apply in a Bama? Because it says B'Fnei Hashem the Sama. So clearly the smichut of Lifnei Hashem to the word Samach tells me that smich is only done Lifnei Hashem, and a mizbeach is not Lifnei Hashem, a bum is not Lifnei Hashem. Shchita Tzofein says Tzofein and Lifnei Hashem. The din of Matanot Saviv also says Bezorak al HaMizbeach. So it says HaMizbeach with Ea Yudia. It's not referring to the mizbeach in your garage. It's referring to the mizbeach in the Mokam HaMizbeach, which is the Bama Gedolah and the Mishkan. Tenufa says Beferish, when Nifa Kohen Lifnei Hashem. Agasha says Yidusha El HaMizbeach, and that's only the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda says Ein Mincha BeBama. By the way, says Rabbi Shem, and I mean, if Ein Mincha BeBama, it's a little silly to talk about the dinim of Agasha, because there were no menachas to be magish. But points out Rav Sheshes, even though we keep talking about Ein Mincha B'Bama, I just want to make it very clear to everybody that if you hold Ein Mincha B'Bama, you also hold that there was no Olas Ha'Olf in B'Bama either. Because the marker of no Mincha was the fact that we darshan the word Zvachim to mean only things that are shechted, and an Olf wasn't shechted. So therefore, L'divrei Omer, Yesh Mincha B'Bama, Yesh Olfot B'Bama. But L'divrei Omer, Ein Mincha B'Bama, Ein Olfot B'Bama. Because Zvachim, if Zvachim means Lo Minachot, then Zvachim means V'lo Ofot. Anyway, getting back to the list. Kohen, says V'zorak HaKohen, and the continuation over there is also a Mizbeach Mifnei Hashem. Bigdei Sharis, Nesharet Bakodesh. same configuration shar, and there too it says klei sharis asher yishar subam bakodesh. The dinim of a bama gedel, of course, is not the makam of the kodesh. So that crosses out the dinim of sherus.
So if it says you're not kohen, then it says beit sharis, but isn't it?
Well, you might have thought.
I mean, whoever does the avoda would have to wear beit kohuna.
You might have thought. From Ashbalan, that there are the Reach Nichah, receive the Reach Nichah La Hashem, and therefore they hear you're allowed to bring up on the Bama something that had already been barbecued, and there's no pagan of Reach Nichah, which on the Mizbeach would be a pagan. Mechitza the Damim, receive by Tareshet at Chatzi HaMizbeach, which means there's no mechitza for Damim if you're bringing an Ayla on your in your garage, then in fact the dam of the Eila can be put just as well on the top of your mizbeach as it is on the bottom. Richut Yadayim Raglayim Tetzivu Bikorvasam El HaMizbeach Yechetzu Raglayim. So, Yadayim Raglayim. Amar Rabbi Bar Chama Lashana L'Kutshi B'Megitana. By the way, I have a big kiddush for you. The dinim that we say over here do not apply is where in the original kiddusha was for a Bama Ketana, and I bring them on a Bama Ketana. You'll note that the Mishnah said, what things are brought on a Bama Ketana? Things that were given to the Bama Ketana. But suppose I took the thing that my original intent was to bring in my garage, and I find out that I'm heading out to Novin Givon anyway, so I figure, okay, what the heck, I'll hitch up a trailer and we'll take it along to the Makrovit there. Does it still have the dinim of the Bama Ketana, or does it now switch into the dinim of the Bama Gedayel? In other words, is it a din in the Kutchim, or is it a din in the Makom in which you're bringing it? That's the show. Says Rami Bar Choma, this whole thing is only Kutche Bama Ketana, the Ikrivum of Bama Ketana. If you took a Kutche Bama Ketana and you brought it into Novin Givon, then, in fact, it would be limited by Chitzu, and you would not be allowed to put the dam on top of the Mizbeach. Mosif Rabba, so Rabba asked on that, and wait a second. We saw before, it said, Chazev Shok and Trumas Lachmi Torah are Noagin Bekotche Boma Gedola. They ain Noagin Bekotche Boma Ketana. Now, I read that as meaning exactly what it says. Something that was Mukdash for Boma Ketana, no matter where I end up bringing it, even if I bring it on a Bama Gedola, it says over here, I won't have Lach Meteida, one of the Trumas Lach Meteida, I won't have the Chaz of a Shok. Now, you just said that all of the didn't kick in according to the place that I'm bringing it, not according to what type of Hegdish it was. So then why does it say that? It should have just said, things brought on a Bama Ketana, not Koche Bama Ketana. So, you seem to have gotten it wrong over here. Well, okay, we could change that a little bit, couldn't we? I mean, instead of saying kotche, why don't we say no agin biba megidela? They no agin biba megitana. That avoids the question, doesn't it? Conveniently. Yigidi Amri, others say that in fact what Rami Bar Choma said was just the opposite. Yigidi Amri Rami Bar Choma, lo chano ala be kotche ba megidela, vi grivam biba megidela. But kotche ba megitana, even though they were brought on a Bama Gedola, do not get the dinim of the Bama Gedola. And then we wanted to bring a raya to him from what we, in the previous lesson, we used as a question to him. But the raya to him would be, it says, Chaz of a Shog, Vachumas Lachmei Toda, Noagin Bekotche Bama Gedola, the Ein Noagin Bekotche Bama Ketana, Mashma, even if the Bama Ketana, which was Kedish for it, was moved over to the Bama Gedola. So, that's exactly what you, Rami Bar Choma, were saying, right? Oh, yeah, but I mean, I don't know whether the language is really sufficient. I mean, maybe what we should read in that is that Noyagin Beboma Gedolave Noyagin Beboma Ketana. Now, this approach would argue on Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar clearly says that an Oilas Bomas Yochid, someone who is going to bring an Oila to a Bomas Yochid, and he ends up bringing it bifnim, kol tua mechitzot v'chol davar. It has now been grabbed by the new mechitzas of the makom that it's brought to, the Bama Gedela, and it has now all of the dinim of Kutche Bama Gedela, just like we have a din that a behemoth that is roi for the Mizbeach. Mizbeach grabs it, so to speak, and it's in a yotzim, rishus and Mizbeach, the other one. You can't just walk away and give it to the Kutche Bedek Abayis without handling the problem of the Kedushas on Mizbeach. And the same thing is true over here. There's a din of Kaltua. It's been grabbed by the Mechitzas and given all of the dinim. So if that's what Rabbi Elazar holds, and obviously he's chaylik on the shitas here that we're claiming, the latter way we're learning from Rabbi Bar Chana, that it doesn't matter. It only matters what the intent was at the time of the Kedusha. Different type of Kedusha. A Kedusha for a Bama Chana is a type of Kedusha that does not ever, no matter where you bring it, does not ever demand all of these special dinim, which is a fantastic idea, because we're so used to thinking of it in terms of the way the avodah has to be done in the Mikdash, the way the avodah has to be done on the Bama Gedela. And here it turns out it's a different type of Kedusha, which means it's a din in the animal, it's not a din in the place. According to the Lashon in Rami Bar Chama. A whole new way of looking at it.
Are we ever likely to have a Bama Ketana again?
Remember that we found in our focus Rashi and Taisus about whether the question of Kitchel HaShaykh or Kitchel HaSid Lavai is also Nogea Heter Bamas. Taisus says, of course, it has nothing to do with Heter Bamas. But what Yerushalayim asks Bamas, whether Yerushalayim is Kedush or not Kedush. But Rashi learns that according to the Mandi Amar, who holds that Yerushalayim wasn't Miskat Shlosid Lavi, that Bomes were Mutaris. What's that? Right.
So we might be faced
with this problem. Well, there was actually a great upheaval about this problem and the suggestion that it's time to start bringing Karbanis.
And Obama?
Well, for Shailas, whether we can use the Makom HaMizbeach, there were a lot of problems because of the Tchelas, the whole Tchelas thing got moved.
What does that mean, Tchelas?
Because you can't bring the carbon without the Tekuna. So that was the way that they got out of the early Zionistic scholarship. So then when the Regina came up with Tchelas, it created a horrific Taram. Because
they didn't try, they don't.
Well, that was one of the main reasons.
But now we have the one in
Yeah, but so they conveniently took away the Beis Hamikdash again.
we gave it back.
Well, obviously. But so then there's always this other option. Well, maybe if you hold it not first, we could just bring it. But they just told the other beggars, "Goy, that's bringing korbanos every day on Har Tzion."
Goy every morning. I think he does a few birds every morning. I'll try and try that. He goes through it like a field trip. I think he might try it. Well, it's very close.
See your carbon is
in the Rico, or even Rico.
I also heard on Har Tzion several years ago. I'm not sure what it was. I thought it was like they were reading about some quarrel. So maybe we could do this today. About Levinsohn, all these other people care. And
what is that?
I thought it was the Tanakhuna.
I saw him in the bus 38 bus carrying all this box full of birds.
I'm not.
He had all these box full of birds. He's bringing them to Kabbalah.